We have the sword drill. We turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, and Luke chapter 21 and verse 33, and both of those verses said exactly the same thing. God repeated it twice in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The day is going to come that the heaven and the earth that we see is going to pass away, but God says, my word shall not pass away. Whatever God says will stay forever. And one of the tremendous truths, fellows and girls and men and women, is to take that in. That God's word is going to remain. It will always be. Even though the heavens and the earth will pass, the word of God will stay. You see, whatever God says in His Word will come to pass too. And one of the tremendous things about the Word of God as we study it and as we look into it and talk about these lessons, we're going to find out that the Word of God makes great predictions. And all of the predictions that the Word of God makes come to pass. Yes, they will come to pass because God's Word is true. And the day will come that even this heaven and this earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven, and there'll be a new earth. Now, I want you to bear that in mind throughout the lessons, because throughout these lessons this week, we're going to talk about some of the prophecies or some of the predictions that God made through His prophets. Well, this morning, we talked about Manasseh. And when Manasseh died, his son Amon took the throne. Amon was 22 years of age. More than likely, he was born during the time when Manasseh returned from prison. And because it was after the prison days, Manasseh no doubt taught Amon the things of God. He heard about the Lord and all of the great things that God had done. But you see, Amon, he never came to know the Lord in a personal way. However, there's a very interesting verse that says this, that he forsook the things of the Lord. In other words, fellows and girls and men and women, what that sort of implies is that he heard it, and he went along with it. But then finally, he made a decision and went and did evil, abominable things. Do you know something right in this room? There could be many young people. There could be some young people right in this room. And, you're going along with it. While your mother and dad, they bring you out to meetings week after week, and you come, you sit in the pews, you go along with the whole bit. But the point is this. Have you ever let the Lord come into your life? You see, Amon, he forsook the things of the Lord. And when he was on his own and his father died, he did abominable, horrible things. He was so wicked and so evil that the people of the kingdom of Judah couldn't stand him. And his own servants, after he sat on the throne for 2 years, they killed him. And they buried him, not among the kings. Oh, no. He was buried in the same garden that his father was buried in the garden of Uzzah. You see, the children of Israel, they didn't give him honor when he died. And he died at the age of 24. His father lived to be 67. They were both buried in the same garden, but there was a big difference. You see, his father Manasseh turned to God. And although his body was buried there, his soul went forever to be with the Lord. He'll spend eternity in heaven, but not his son Amon. Forever he will spend eternity in the lake of fire, a place called hell. I want to tell you, fellows and girls and men and women, that it's important that we receive Christ and that we follow him. Now, at the age of 16, he fathered a child. No doubt he was married, but he fathered a child who he called Josiah. And the interesting thing about it is that this child that was fathered by this evil, wicked king was predicted over 300 years ago that he was going to be born. And it also said that this child, whose name would be Josiah, who would be born of the house of David, that means out of the line of David, that when he would take the throne, why, it was predicted even what he was going to do. I suppose as the years passed by, people would say, well, whatever happened to that prediction? They said that it was going to happen, but the years passed by, and they probably thought, there'll be no one ever called Josiah. But this young boy was named by a wicked father, and he was born. His name was Josiah. Now, I've got to take you way back in history now to the time of Solomon. You see, Solomon, he was the king that sat on the throne, and God had blessed him in a remarkable, wonderful way. For Solomon, you see, he was given wisdom, he was given riches, and he was given fame. And Solomon, he was blessed with abundance. But, you see, Solomon did not listen to the word of God. He did exactly what the word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 17 said he should not do. For the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 17, in those four verses from verse 20 to 24, that the kings of Israel that sat on the throne, they were not allowed to multiply unto themselves horses. They were not allowed to cause the people to return to Egypt. They were not allowed to multiply unto themselves wives. And they were not allowed to multiply unto themselves riches of silver and gold and foreign. And Solomon, he broke all of those things. All four things. But in Deuteronomy chapter 17 that we read about, it said what the kings were supposed to do. What they were supposed to do when they took the throne is they were to cause someone to write the book of the law, to write it out for them. Each king was to have someone to write the five books, that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, out for them, and then every day, they were to read the book continually. That's what they had. That's how much they had, and they were to read it every day. And then the next thing they were taught to do is they were told that they should fear the Lord, and the fourth thing was they should walk in the ways of the Lord. But Solomon didn't do that. His wives turned his head and turned his thoughts from the things of God, and he served the idols. So God said to Solomon, Solomon, because of this, what I'm going to do, I'm going to divide it. I'm going to divide it. But Solomon, because I loved your father David and love him dearly, I'm going to leave one tribe for his sake. And because I love Jerusalem, I'm going to leave one tribe for Jerusalem's sake. But I'm going to take 10 tribes away from you. Now, during that time, there was a young man by the name of Jeroboam. He worked for King Solomon. He was in the building trade. In fact, he was in charge of building for the house of Joseph under the direction of Solomon. He was a very industrious man. And one day, he was wearing a brand new coat, and he came out of Jerusalem, and as he came out, Ahijah, the prophet, met him. And Ahijah, when he met him, he ripped off that brand new coat and ripped it up into 12 pieces. And then he turned to him and he said, here's 10 pieces. Now hear the word of the Lord. What's going to happen to you is this. God is going to divide the kingdom. And he's going to give to you, Jeroboam, 10 tribes. If you will follow the Lord God and walk in his way, God will give you a sure house and your kingdom will be established. But if you do not walk in the ways of the Lord, God will take the kingdom from your family. What a golden opportunity. Well, when King Solomon found out what Ahijah did with this young man Jeroboam, he tried to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam was safe because God was with him. The days passed by, and Solomon dies. Oh, what a sad story it is. And when he died, his son Rehoboam took the throne. Now, when Rehoboam took the throne, the people there of the kingdom of Judah, they called for Jeroboam, who fled to Egypt, and they asked him to come back and to be their leader and go in and see Rehoboam and ask King Rehoboam if he would lower the taxes. And not only did they ask him to lower the taxes, but they said, go in and ask him if he will make our workload lighter. And so Jeroboam, who the people chose for their leader, went in to see King Rehoboam. And he said, look, what we would like is for the taxes to be lowered. What we would like is for our workload to be lowered. And King Rehoboam said, I'll tell you what, you come back in 3 days and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And so he had a conference, this king, with his old counselors. Yes, the old counselors said to him, Rehoboam, what you need to do is you need to show kindness to them. And what you need to do, wrote Rehoboam, you need to show kindness and you need to show to them that you're good and that also that you speak words to them that are good. Oh, how that reminds us of the words of Romans chapter 15, where God tells us too that we should show kindness to those who are afflicted and are in problems. But the word of God tells us also that we should not put grievous burdens on people and put a heavy yoke upon them in that portion. But what we should do is we should speak words that are good words and to build them up and to edify them. And then we should speak words of comfort and hope. That was what they were told to do. That's what we're told to do with people as well. Well, what he did is he listened and then he called for his young counselors, those that were his peers. And when he called for them, they came in, and when Rehoboam heard what Jeroboam and the people wanted, they said, no way! Look it! What do they think this is? You are not going to give them a break like that. What you need to do is speak roughly and sternly to them. And what you need to do, said one of the young men, is show them your little finger. And you tell them that your little finger is thicker than your father's loins. And if they thought that your father was tough on them, you tell them that you'll make their load heavier. Whereas your father beat them with whips, you will beat them with scorpions. So when Rehoboam heard what they advised and he thought about it, he took the advice of the young men and ignored the advice of the old men. 3 days passed by, and when the 3 days came back, passed by, back in came Jeroboam and the men that were the elders of the city. And when they heard what he had to say, he said, see my little finger? It's thicker than my father's loins. And when they heard those words, a cry went up throughout the crowd. And they said, every man return to his own house. Split! And the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes left. Yes, 10 tribes immediately left. And then only 2 tribes were left for the kingdom of Judah. You see, the root cause for that whole problem was King Solomon and the children of Israel, because they had done evil. But it happened during the reign of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, when he realized that all the people had left him and that they were gone, Rehoboam, he didn't sit back and relax and take it easy. No, Rehoboam, what he decided to do was to get an army together. Why, he knew that the main purpose that God had in mind is for that the children of Israel should be one, that the 12 tribes should be united. And so he got an army together to go and fight, to bring them back. But God stopped him. God said, Rehoboam, because of the evil and the wicked they have done, this is of me. Because of what they have done. Now, Rehoboam, it's divine. Because God said it was going to be divine. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, I don't understand this. But you know that the day is coming that Israel's going to be united again. They're going to be one. But understand this. You see, as far as God is concerned, there is only one true church today. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are part of the true church. If you are saved, you are part of the true church. Unfortunately, today, there's all kinds of gatherings of people. And you know why? The root cause is because of sin and rebellion. But you see, they broke it. God never intended to have all kinds of denominations and groups and so forth, because there is only one true church. But you know the lesson that Rehoboam had to learn was this lesson. God said, don't fight against your brethren. They're your brothers. Don't fight against them. And he stopped the war. And you know there's no point for us to fight with our brethren. Why, we have people who don't agree with us as we gather here. We feel that we gather according to New Testament principles, but we have people down the street that don't gather the same way that we do. But you know there's no point of us fighting with them. God wouldn't want us to do that. They have broken it up. They have divided the church. But you see what Rehoboam did. He didn't sit back and relax. Oh, no. Just because the kingdom was broken, did that mean that Rehoboam was going to do nothing and just take a life of ease? Oh, no. For what we read about Rehoboam is this. That Rehoboam, he fortified the cities. Yes, and he built for the kingdom of Judah. And he put men in the defense cities. And then what he did also is he built storehouses. And he also prepared food and gave food from the storehouses to the people. Do you get it, my friends? I hope we do. You know what we need to do. Even though the church has been divided, we need to strengthen that which remains. We need to stick to the Word of God. We need to do that. We need to cling right to God's Word. And just what we do, we need, like Rehoboam did, we need to strengthen that which remains. And what we also need to do is to feed the people. How do we feed them? From the Word of God. Oh, if we would only stick to the Word of God and feed on this Word, why, great things would happen. Do you know what happened during the time of Rehoboam? Why, what happened is that all the people in the northern tribes that were priests and Levites and all the other people who really wanted to seek the Lord and who wanted to live for God, they came to where Rehoboam was and they came back to Jerusalem. It was a refuge place. They found out that that was the right place and the right way to gather, because God said the only place to gather was at Jerusalem for worship. For collective worship. So they came from all over. And as a result, the kingdom of Judah was strengthened. However, it only lasted for 3 years. And Rehoboam, he fell into sin and went into idolatry. But fellows and girls and men and women, I want to tell you that what we need to do is stick to the Word. feed the people, and they will find the scriptural principles of how to gather. Now, Jeroboam, on the other hand, he was the king for the 10 tribes. And Jeroboam, who was the king for the 10 tribes, he got a little nervous about it, and he thought to himself, my, if those people, if they return to Jerusalem like they're supposed to, why, you know, they won't want me as the king. They'll want to have another king. Now, God said he would be established. But you see, he didn't listen to God's word. And he was afraid that they would go back to Jerusalem and worship. That's what they were supposed to do. There was only one place for worship. And today, my friends, there is still only one place for collective worship, and that's at the Lord's Supper. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember to get him. Now, for collective worship, that's where it's at. And he was afraid of that. And so he got together with his counselors, and they suggested, you know what you need to do? You need to set up some other places for worship. So he set up two other places for worship. One was at Dan, the city of Dan, and one was at Bethel. And there he built altars. Yes, there was the true altar back at Jerusalem. That's where God told them to worship. But at the altar at Dan and Bethel that he built up, they didn't worship God. What he set up was not only a new place, but he set up a new symbol. They did not worship the Lord who was pictured at the ark, at the altar in Bethel. He set up the golden calf. And here these people, they built an altar and they offered sacrifices to this golden calf and they worshiped the creature instead of the creator. Sad. It was not according to God's word. First of all, he set up a new place. Then he set up a new symbol. And the third thing that he did is he set up a new time. God said that they should gather together on a feast day on the 15th day of the 7th month. But Jeroboam the king said, I don't think we should gather on the 15th day of the 7th month. What we should do is we should gather on the 15th day of the 8th month. He changed the time. He put up a new time. Now the fourth thing that he did is he had a new priesthood. God said that the people who should offer sacrifices at the true altar in Jerusalem were the ones who were born in the tribe of Levi. Oh, but Jeroboam said, anybody can be a priest. It doesn't make any difference how you're born. You can be a priest if you want here. And so at this altar, which wasn't God's altar anyways, there were all kinds of priests who were not born in the white tribe. Do you know something, fellows and girls and men and women? The moment you get saved, if you do get saved, or if you are saved, you are a priest. That's what God's word says, that we are priests. And as a priest, we need to offer our sacrifices unto the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, it tells that we are made kings and priests unto him. In 1 Peter, it tells us in chapter 2 that we are holy priests, and we should be royal priests. We should offer holy sacrifices, and we should also be royal priests as well. Well, do you know what? In order for you to be a priest, you have to be born properly. You have to be born again. That's what it means to be saved. Being saved is the same thing as being born again. And at this altar, it didn't make any difference how you were born. Well, it didn't make any difference. They weren't worshiping God anyways. But the king himself, why, he actually offered incense at this altar to this golden calf. And as he was offering this incense to this golden calf and worshiping in front of all the people, God sent a prophet. We don't even know his name. And this prophet that came, he came from Judah, and he spoke with a loud voice. Oh, altar, altar, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, or in the line of David, by the name of Josiah. And when he takes the throne, what he will do is destroy all the priests that are worshiping at this altar. And he will also dig up all the bones of the dead men who worshiped at this altar. And he will burn them all. Besides this, there will be a sign unto you. This altar will split, and the ashes will fall to the ground. And as he spoke those words, the king shouted out, "Stop him! Stop that man right now!" And the king, he got rid of his incense, and he put forth his hand to go and stop the man of God. But when he reached out his hand to stop the man of God, God caused his hand to shrink, and it shriveled up. It became very short. And when he saw what had happened to his hand, he turned to the man of God, and he said, "Oh, man of God, cry out to God for me, so that my hand can be restored." Why didn't he cry out to his golden calf? And you see, he cried out to the man of God, and he was more concerned about his hand's condition. He wasn't concerned about his heart's condition. All people are not concerned about their heart. And so we find that God was full of mercy again and full of grace. And the man of God prayed, and the hand was healed. And right then and there, the altar split. And when the altar split, the ashes fell to the ground. Why, do you know at the true altar in Jerusalem, the ashes could never fall to the ground? You see, at the true altar in Jerusalem, what they would do is they would offer sacrifices. They were looking forward to the time that Christ would die on the cross. And you see, those ashes, after the sacrifice was made, they would take the ashes and carry them off to a clean place. You see, it was looking forward to the time that the Lord Jesus, after he died, his remains were taken off of the cross and brought to a brand new tomb. Well, this man of God, why, when he spoke these words, the king said to him, "O man of God, I'll give you a reward. Come home with me and eat with me, and I'll give you a reward." And the man of God said, "I can't go home with you. I cannot go home with you because the word of the Lord came to me that I should not eat or drink in this place, but that I should go back a different way." You see, the king, he wanted to do some work, but he didn't want to get right with God. In fact, we read that the king, what he did is he went and restored that altar once again and worshiped there. But the man of God, he went home a different way. Now, this was done right out in the open, and there were lots of people who saw it. And there were some sons of an old prophet. And when they saw what had taken place, they went home to their father, and they said, "Father, you'll never believe what would happen today." While as the king was worshiping at the altar, and they talked all about the man of God. And when they told the old prophet said to his sons, "Which way did the man of God go?" And they said, "Well, he went that way." And so the old prophet said to his sons, "Saddle me a donkey. Quickly, quickly, get me a donkey, and so I can go after the man of God." Now, the man of God, he was walking, and he was tired. It was an exhausting day. And he came to an oak tree, and he sat down under this oak tree to rest. Now, the old prophet, what he was doing is he was riding on a donkey. So it didn't take long, and the old prophet caught up to the man of God. And when he caught up, he said to him, "Are you the man of God that was in Judah today?" He said, "I am." Well, he said, "Come on home with me and have something to eat and to drink." And the man of God said, "No, I may not do that." Well, the old prophet says, "You know, I'm a prophet too, you know." And he said, "But I may not go back because the word of God said to me I should not eat or drink in this place, and I need to return another way." "But I'm a prophet too," said the old prophet. And he said, "An angel of the Lord spoke to me and told me to go after you and to bring you back." But he lied. Oh, listen. We read tonight in the sword drill where it says, "Though we or an angel preach unto you any other gospel than what's written in God's word, let that person be accursed." And do you know today, fellas and girls and men and women, there's lots of people who preach things and tell you how to get to heaven or what to do, and they preach words that are not found in the Word of God. And they lie. Oh, that we would stick to the Word of God. And because the old prophet said that he had been told by an angel, the man of God went with the old prophet. Why, do you know today there's people who say that they have heard from an angel, or they've seen a vision, or they had a dream, and people listen to that. They don't listen to the words of God, but they listen to all of that. And this old prophet brought the man of God back to his home. God's word said, don't eat or drink in the place, and to return another way. And so he went back. And while he was in the home of the old prophet, the Bible says they ate and they drank together. And the sad thing is this, fellows and girls and men and women, is they ate and drank together. That the word of the Lord came to the old prophet, not to the man of God. And the word of God said this, because the man of God returned and ate and drank in this place, he shall not return to his home, and he will not be buried in the graves of his fathers. Oh, it was a sad thing that he returned. He disobeys. And you know, after they were finished eating and drinking, that the old prophet said to his sons, saddle me a donkey for the man of God. And the man of God started off on his way, but he never made it home. Because as he started on his way, all of a sudden there was a lion that rushed right out at him. And the lion attacked him. And the lion killed him and cast him down. Oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women, we talk about the lion in the Word of God. It speaks of Satan. He's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he can devour. And do you know something, that Satan tonight, he wants to take you right to hell. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to get saved. But you see, what happened here is what the lion did. The lion, after he killed the man of God, he cast him down. He cast him away. And then the lion stood over him. He didn't eat him. He just stood over the top of him. And so did the donkey. You see, the lion couldn't devour him, or it would ruin the type that God wants to share with us. You see, if you come to know Jesus Christ the Savior, Satan can never, never take your salvation away. But you know what Satan can do? He can make you a castaway. And that's what Satan did to the man of God. He made him a castaway, so he is good for nothing. And you know, there's people in this room who are not obedient to God's word, and because you're not obedient, you are cast away and are good for nothing. God wants us to obey his word. Well, people, the word was spread that this man of God was cast away, and that the lion and the donkey stood over the top of him. And the word got back to the old prophet. And the old prophet, when he heard what had happened, he said to his sons, it's the man of God. It's the man of God. Now take me to the man of God. Saddle me a donkey so I can go. So they saddled him a donkey, and he went off, and he got the man of God. He put him on top of his donkey, and he brought him back to his house. And then he buried him. After the funeral was over, he said to his sons, now look it, you promised me. Promise me this, that when I die, you will bury my bones with the bones of the man of God, because what he said will come to pass. What he says is going to come to pass. Now promise me. And the sons promised him, and they said that they would bury him with the man of God. 300 years passed by. Many people probably forgot all about the prophecy. Many people probably wondered why that's never going to happen, and people might have even laughed about it, like people are laughing today. You see, the man of God said this, that there would come a day that a child would be born in the house of David, or in the line of David, that means, in the family line, and he would be named Josiah. Yes? Josiah was born to that wicked, evil king, Ammon. And when he died, Ammon died, Josiah took the throne. He was just 8 years old. That's all he was, just 8. You see, his father died at age 24. He was born when his father was 16. And he was just 8 years old when he took the throne. And when he took the throne, the trumpets blasted and they sounded forth, "Long live King Josiah." Yes, he took the throne just like God said he would. Do you know something, fellas and girls and men and women? People would have doubted it. They would have laughed about that prophecy. Just like people today are doing, as we read in Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. How that in the last times there will be scoffers mocking, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again, said he's coming back." And people keep saying, "Well, where is it?" They keep talking about the coming of the Lord. How come he hasn't already come? You know, to be quite honest with you, I'm surprised he hasn't come already. I thought that the Lord would have been here by now, but you know, this morning we talked about how the Lord is full of grace. You know, another one of his attributes, or one of his characteristics, is that he's long-suffering. He doesn't want someone to perish. He doesn't want you to perish. But listen, fellows and girls and men and women, just like it was predicted that Josiah would be born and he would be the king, so it predicted in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit on the throne here on this earth. And he will reign over Israel, which will once again be united as 12 tribes. Yes, he's coming. I wonder tonight, are you ready if he comes? Are you ready if the Lord Jesus Christ should come tonight? Because he could. And if he came tonight, only the fellows and girls and men and women who know him will be caught up to meet him in the air. If you're not ready, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you, or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and heads up. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we just thank you for the Word of God. And we pray that the Spirit of God will do its work and work in the lives of the individuals here. Bless us now as we separate, and we just pray if there's someone who has a question of how to find the places in the Bible, or question how to get to heaven and be sure they're saved. We pray that they'll stay behind. Be with us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a look at the prices downstairs. The lights are on. And thanks for coming. I'm sorry to be over time a few minutes, but this is my first time with this lesson, so it's over. Thank you.